When I was in middle school, I discovered I had a good singing voice. I always sang when I was younger. My father sang too. His voice was pretty good. Kind of like a Neil Young sort of singing voice. He would play guitar, and we would sit in his apartment, and he would play a song, and I would sing backup. His voice always carried louder than mine. But when I got to middle school, my chorus teacher noticed that my voice was strong, and she praised me. And so I practiced all the time. I practiced in the shower, I practiced at my grandparents' house, I practiced in my bedroom. I sang and I sang, and I wanted my voice to get better. And it did. And I was chosen for solos. And I sang beautifully because I practiced. And then when I was in the eighth grade, there was a chance to be up for a solo. I was the best singer in school. I didn't practice anymore. And so when it came time to try out, there was a girl in my class that went before me. And she sang, and I sat there in awe. First, jealous, and then in awe. Her voice was beautiful. It seemed like she came out of nowhere. And so when I went second, I did a decent job, but not enough to get the solo. And it killed me. I stopped practicing. And my teacher gave me feedback too. She told me, "Mare, if you want to get better, you have to practice." And I just didn't. My ego was bigger. And I learned my lesson that day. Feedback is important. Feedback sometimes doesn't feel good, or it doesn't come in this package that seems that desirable. But if we don't listen to it, and we don't at least take it in, nothing really changes. We keep doing the same things that we think work for us. And so today, on Faculty Room, we're talking about the feedback we get in our jobs and what way we take it. Hey friends, welcome back to Faculty Room. This is episode 4. It's all about feedback and how we take feedback and then what we do with that to change our practice. So it's an episode that was actually born out of feedback that I've gotten recently in the work that I'm doing and being on the job market and doing my resume again and doing all of these things. You send it out for people to give you feedback. And then what I found was happening is when I did get feedback, I would get mad if the feedback wasn't something that worked for me or was positive. I would get defensive and angry. And I am 42 years old. And this was fascinating to me. And I felt like this is worthy of an episode, especially in education, because a lot of our job is through feedback. It's through feedback and observations or walkthroughs or talks with colleagues, through student surveys or parent surveys. A lot of what we do to find out, am I doing a good job, is through the feedback of others. And feedback is great when people tell you how wonderful you are or how a project you worked on or a function that you organized, that it went well and everyone was happy. It's those moments when feedback becomes critical and not in a bad way, even sometimes to say, this would have worked better if, or next time try this. So many times when I see feedback delivered in that manner, I tense up, I get defensive. And I wonder, as teachers, if we get that way naturally, because so much of what we do is with our heart. We dive all in. Every ounce of energy we have, every task that we take on, we want to do what's best for kids. And we do that with all of our heart, and we do that with all of our good intentions. Regardless of how it ultimately turns out, the initial intent, in my opinion, is always a positive one. So when someone looks at our work or we are observed and the feedback comes back, let's be honest, negative, how we take that and what we do after changes everything. My last year of teaching, which was last year, was the first time that I got an observation that was terrible. And guys, when I tell you terrible, I mean, I got partially ineffective, like five of them. Like down the row, things that I used to get distinguished or highly effective. And I looked at it first like, well, this woman hates me. I don't look at her opinion. Her opinion does not matter. I just knew, and this, and in full disclosure, the principal wasn't a fan of mine. Her personality and my personality were completely opposite. She was type A. I am not even type B. I don't know if I'm a type Z. I am an all over the place teacher. I don't have organizational skills. I don't have a way that I start every class and end every class. I kind of just feel where we're going. And my students have always been successful. I have always been good at monitoring who needs what. But at times it is chaotic. And in this particular lesson, I definitely saw flaws. I definitely saw things that I thought, ugh, this didn't work. And I didn't have them get whiteboards. And I didn't ask this question. And she noticed it all. I need to also tell you that this is a district. When they write up your observation, they provide you a full transcript of every single word you say and a timestamp. I hate this practice. They spend so much time typing out everything we do without feeling the energy in the room, without noticing the relationships that a teacher has with their kids, without seeing the things on the wall, without really truly diving in and just seeing our practice. So as much as I'm going to change my tone a little bit about feedback, because I do think I read her feedback wrong, I also came from a district that this practice of transcribing an observation is absolutely ridiculous. And when you get back a transcript of everything you said and it's picked apart, like you said this at minute 13, and it's a nightmare. And you can only imagine that as you're going through a lesson, yeah, you're going to say some shit that, oh, well, I would have worded that differently. Or yeah, when I look at it back, but to have it used against you in an observation is, you know, with all due respect, fucking stupid. So I'm just going to say that. But when I initially got this observation back, I was pissed off. And I wrote an addendum, and I'm a contracted employee, so we have the right to write an addendum to an observation that we disagree with. This particular principal had a lot of people writing addendums to her observations. So this isn't a completely, you know, I was the only one who took this observation the wrong way. But when I look back on the observation, some of the feedback she gave me was true. The lesson didn't go how it should. And I got so caught up in believing that I am a great teacher and I'm doing what's best for my kids that I didn't allow any of the critique of my practice to sink in, and I didn't reflect on it at all because I was bitter and I was angry. And how dare someone say that I'm not highly effective? And when we do that, when we take that stance, it builds a wall that doesn't allow for anybody to offer us some really, really good critiques that can change our practice. You will never, ever perfect this job. You will be perfect in your own way. You will be a loving teacher. You will try and do your best every single day. But the beauty of this job is that every year you get 30 new kids. And for a lot of you, hundreds if you have multiple sections. Every single kid needing something different. Every single kid not truly adapting or understanding your style of teaching. So we always have to change what we do. Feedback is critical. So in the next segment, I'm going to talk about some things that I've seen done that I think are great for us to start to get used to feedback and look at it not as negative, but as something that can truly help guide us in mastering our craft. Stay tuned. So let's talk about ways that we can get feedback and then what we do once we have it. One of the things to me about getting feedback is the more we get it and the more that it's critical and important feedback about our practice, the less it becomes abrasive or the less it becomes something that's a shock. So my first piece of advice is to elicit feedback constantly. The most important people to get feedback from are your kids. So let's start there. Student feedback is number one. You can do this all the time. You can do weekly Google surveys and send them out on a Friday. A quick 5-question, what worked this week, what didn't? I would probably start even the school year by explaining this practice, explaining to your students that you do want to get better and you do want to know what works and what doesn't. And also explain to them that every year your students change and their needs change and you need to be aware of what's working and what isn't. That way that student surveys become a practice for them as well. And it teaches them how to critically kind of look at somebody's job and critically look at the way that they are supposed to learn or what they're supposed to learn. And it will become a great tool for them as well to self-reflect. So weekly surveys or exit tickets for what worked and what didn't are a great tool. Another thing to do at the end of the year is set up like focus groups of students and have them have these conversations. And I would record them. I would set up, if you guys have laptops, like Evernote or any kind of recording. I'm at a blank. Flipgrid. All of these things that can record students. Set it on record and have them just talk. What sucked about this year. If you could start the year over or to be successful next year, what would I have had to do differently? And really keep the conversation about you. It's easier for them. So instead of them talking about like what they could have done differently, you can say to them, listen, guys, this is all about where did I go wrong? And also talk to them about feedback as not being a negative thing, how it helps you get better. This is a great lesson for kids too. How many of our kids take feedback and get angry or get frustrated? If they see that weekly they're giving you feedback and you're taking it well and you're changing your practice because of it, this will help them too. So focus groups at the end of the year are a great way to do it. Another thing for kids are anonymous letters. Have them write to you weekly, monthly, at the end of the year. If they don't feel comfortable telling you these things and slapping their name on it, just say, guys, you can give me a gentle note to say, I don't like when you have us raise our hands and you call on us, or I don't like when I don't feel prepared, but you'll still ask me to answer a question. Cause things like that.
And that's okay. And when you start to get this feedback constantly from your students, it sinks in a little deeper. It's become part of your practice. So students first, always. Secondly, your staff. There was that trend happening a couple years ago, and even today, where I guess teachers put pineapples on their door, which means welcome. You know, come on in, observe my practice, give me some feedback. It's funny. When I first saw this, I was like, ew, never. But again, you're talking to a woman that had a really hard time with any sort of critical feedback. When that's part of the school culture, that it's like an open door, come on in and watch what I do and help me get better and allow me to do the same for you. Number one, that changes an entire school culture. We start becoming less silos and more kind of like this group dynamic that works inside a building. I love the pineapple thing, and I would do it if I was teaching again. I would allow my colleagues to come in, not in this watch me, I'm so great, but watch me and let me know what you think. Can I change anything? I have learned a lot of things from all of the colleagues that I've observed, and I haven't observed them in that pineapple manner. It just maybe something PD was going on in their room, and I saw a poster that they had up or a way that they talked to their children, and I took it in. And it wasn't this formal thing. You just kind of informally take some things in that your colleagues do. If it's a school culture where you have these pineapples on your door and the principal and the admin allow for teachers to go into others' classrooms and constantly offer feedback, and we all put it on the table that none of us are perfect and all of us are doing our best, that could change everything. Even if you don't have that pineapple culture, and just ask a friend, say, listen, come in on your prep if you don't mind, I'll do the same for you. Watch me, or watch this lesson that I'm trying to do, or watch this project that I'm trying to do with my kids. Tell me where I'm going wrong. Jump in if you have to. If we allow that sort of conversation to happen, where we are vulnerable with each other and we show each other our flaws, that could allow for some really great reflection. And I think that it can allow for you and your colleague or your friend to have these really great deep discussions about education and like a partnership. Let your colleague come in a few times and you go into their class to learn their kids. I did that a lot informally with a lot of my best friends at school. I was in their class so much on my prep that I started to help some of their kids with projects, or I knew how some of their students liked to work, and I would kind of help and jump in. We need to do that more. We need to start working together more. We can offer so much help to each other. Lastly, the feedback that you get from formal observations, the feedback that you read through with a fine-tooth comb. Maybe, just maybe, if we change our practice to be more open door, more reflective, more open to all types of feedback, maybe these observations will start to be less, ugh, everything I'm doing wrong, and more, oh, okay, let me look at what they're suggesting I do and see if I can kind of change that. I also want to be careful here. Don't think for one second that I don't think there are certain admin that might not like you and will give you a shitty observation because of that. It did happen to me. That woman that gave me that observation didn't like me. So she looked for, I'm not saying that what she wrote wasn't right or wrong, but she heavily critiqued in any area she could. You still have to know your rights, and you still have to push back on certain feedback that you know you've worked on or that you're trying or that it does work for your kids. So I do want you to not just do that sit there and take it sort of thing. When it comes to your administration, this sort of feedback does count against you. So know your rights and stand up for yourself. If you can write addendums and you believe in what you have to say and you believe that the observation was incorrect, then write it and staple it on. Trust me, it makes a difference. Hopefully some of those tips helped. If you have any more questions for me, feel free to drop me a line on Anchor. You can give me some, send me voice messages, ask me questions. Of course, if you see me on Twitter, you can do the same. But I really hope that we can start to look at feedback a little differently, simply by asking for tons of it. See you next week. Okay, so we've reached the end of the show. This is the Twitter roundup. This is when I talk about things happening on Twitter, people to follow, events going on. Right now, my absolute favorite thing happening on Twitter is the hashtag 31 days of IBPOC. It's Indigenous Black People of Color. It is a culmination of work by educators and authors, incredible people contributing every day to a blog post for 31 days. It has been eye-opening and sobering, and I invite you all. I retweet the blog post every day on my page, but if you visit it on Twitter, it's hashtag again, 31 days of IBPOC. Sit and read it and take it in and listen and open up the essays. There are some poems. It's magic. And for anyone in education, for anyone really anywhere, you need to read every single day. And after you read it, share it and print it and give it out, because it is eye-opening work and it is raw and beautiful. And I've enjoyed every single post. So that has been my favorite thing right now. I'll be sad to see it go. If I could keep it going, if they could do a blog post every single day. And I'm really hoping from the feedback that I've seen on Twitter, that I think more educators and more, you know, really strong and powerful people will lend their voice to these essays, because I don't want it to stop. It really is so powerful and beautiful. Now, in terms of somebody to follow, this man has been such a tremendous support for me, and really someone that I admire so greatly on Twitter. His handle is at World Professor. He is Dr. Walter Greeson. He works at Monmouth University here in New Jersey. He has written countless books about Afrofuturism, Cities Reimagined, but his most recent work is in the form of a restoration of an old house in Red Bank, New Jersey, where T. Thomas Fortune lived. And I was not familiar with this man's story. And like so many amazing people in our history that have contributed to African-American history, we do not learn about them. And there are so many resources online about T. Thomas Fortune. You can find them on Dr. Greeson's page. I've retweeted them as well. But this house is in Red Bank. It has been fully restored. They are doing an opening ceremony this Thursday, May 23rd. I will be there. I am there to support it. And just as an educator, as teachers in New Jersey, there are a lot of resources there for you, for your students. It's free. Please check this work out. Follow my friend. He's an incredible person doing incredible things and has one of the biggest hearts that I know. Also coming up, make sure that you follow me on Twitter at Mayor Servanac for any future engaged chats. Remember, these are global Twitter discussions. We have hosts all around the world. One of my closest friends, Eva Hannon, out in Dubai, started this engaged chat, and really it's grown exponentially. And the discussions we have are great because so many people around the world are a part of it. So it really makes for good discussion, eye-opening conversation, and it's great to build your PLN with people that are just not where you are. It's really eye-opening to see a lot of the issues that we have in education are global. It's just not here in America. And so it's really interesting to see kind of that perspective. So make sure you're following us. For the rest of you, enjoy your week. Remember, feedback is critical to your success, especially as an educator or an administrator. Feedback is important. Elicit it always. Thank you for listening. I love you all, and I will see you next week. Take care.